The Palestine Report with Hafez Ibrahim Musa.
Hafez, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran.
Questions arising from the Clover buyout deal.
There's quite a few issues here to consider. The first is obviously people have been following the story quite intensely, and I'm sure I've heard many angles on this particular story since it broke last week. I've just been monitoring how the story has been covered in the Israeli media. They've obviously covered the story in its general form, what the buyout is all about, and showing a keen interest in the story because of the presence in this consortium, this Melco consortium of the Israeli Central Bottling Company. So they've covered it because of that angle, and they've also shown interest in the story after the intervention of BDS. Now, what the Israeli media have been saying and other reports have been saying about Melco, this consortium that seeks to buy out, they've been focusing on the Israeli Central Bottling Company and pointing out that the Israeli Central Bottling Company owns two-thirds of the soft drink market out in Israel. And CBC, as it's known, is also the leading manufacturer as well as distributor of soft drinks and beverages in the Israeli market. And therefore, if one has to look at the Israeli dailies such as Haaretz, they've actually referred to CBC as Coca-Cola Israel because it owns the rights to the distribution and manufacture of Coca-Cola and related beverages out in Israel. And they've pointed out that the current owners of CBC are actually the heirs of a certain Moshe Wertheim, who was a Mossad agent previously, and he was part of a militia, the elite fighting militia of the Haganah group, which was called the Palmach, which was responsible for many of the massacres that were effected against the Palestinians during the days of the Nakba, as well as being involved in violence against the British during the days of the Mandate. So interesting bit of information coming through there. Then we obviously know since BDS raised the alarm on this particular deal, Brimstone Investments have come to the fore and said that they are going to reconsider their participation in this particular deal. But many people, Warner, have been asking questions that Clover have already indicated since last October that there has been interest in a buy over or a take over of Clover. So in that interim period, we've had the Melco consortium being created, and it's a registered entity in South Africa. So when Brimstone now comes to the fore and says that it, because of its values, it's reconsidering its involvement in this particular deal, many people are asking where were those values when these negotiations were ongoing, and you clearly knew and you worked extensively with the Israeli partners to create this registered entity called Melco. So people are sort of asking if there's any bluff here. And right until BDS raised the alarm, we actually had the CEO of Brimstone hailing this particular transaction, saying that it would bring foreign direct investment to South Africa, and this is what we need if we wish to achieve the economic freedom that our country deserves. So again, people are asking, does freedom economics the expense of the freedom of the Palestinians? Does black economic empowerment also come with the disempowerment of Palestinians? And then the last aspect that has come out through Sunday media reports is a very worrying stance from the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, who have defended this deal, saying that it is in line with Cyril Ramaphosa's investment drive, and if it is approved by the Competition Commission and other regulatory bodies, there's absolutely nothing wrong with this particular deal, indicating that South Africa is open for business and it will open up new markets for Clover products on the African continent and beyond. And the question arising from that is, what's the worth of ANC resolutions with regard to BDS, with regard to closure of diplomatic relations, when Israeli companies, particularly companies that have tradings with illegal settlements, are allowed such free rein in South Africa?
Yeah, a burning question indeed. Developments on the global diplomatic front related to Palestine?
Yes, well, there's something happening this week in Warsaw, in the capital of Poland. There's going to be a Middle East conference. It's taking place this week from the 13th to the 14th of February. And there's been a lot of reaction from the Palestinian Authority on this. They were not invited until the last minute. And as a result, because not only of that factor, but because the United States is convening this conference, they've rejected any attendance in the conference. They're saying that they'll only participate in conferences where the framework is international law and United Nations resolutions with regard to Palestine, and not a conference where the entire conference revolves around United States sort of interests in the Middle East. At this conference, we're going to have Netanyahu attending, and also foreign ministers of the Gulf countries like Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Oman, and Jordan, the United States Deputy President, Pence also going to be there. So there's a great chance of discussions and formal meetings between Arab foreign ministers and the Israeli echelon there. So that's happening this week. We've also had the appointment of the United States President Trump on the Middle East. Kushner, his son-in-law, and his Middle East envoy Jason Greenblatt indicating that they're going to be visiting Oman, Bahrain, Saudi, UAE, and Qatar towards the end of this month, and they're going to be talking about the deal of the century, as they've dubbed it, but they're not going to be talking about any political solutions yet. They're only going to be talking about the economic part of this particular plan, so that's coming up a bit later on this month. We also have Israel reopening what has been called a virtual embassy for the Gulf countries. It's a Twitter account called Israel in the GCC, and it's an Arabic Twitter account, but it aims to highlight relations, ongoing and strengthening relations between Israel and the GCC. And finally, from the Palestinian front, perhaps a response to these sort of conferences that are excluding them. We have Mahmoud Abbas opening up new avenues. So he was at the African Union summit that's happening in Addis Ababa, and he addressed that particular summit and called on the African countries to continue supporting the Palestinian cause, and they should convene their own international peace conference where the framework will be international law and the United Nations resolutions rather than some program that's advocated by the United States.
Now, the extent of Qatari assistance to Gaza has been revealed.
Yes, we have reports here, Maulana, saying that since 2012, Qatar has provided the Gaza Strip, which is administered by Hamas, with the tune of $1.1 billion. And this kind of investment in the Gaza Strip is obviously an essential kind of intervention which will stop Gaza from completely melting down. So Qatar has played an enormous role here. That money has gone towards humanitarian aid. It's gone towards paying salaries of employees, government employees in the Gaza Strip, trying to alleviate the fuel and electricity crisis, and also going into the building of infrastructure, rebuilding of homes. And it's become a political hot potato in Israel, the extent of the aid provided. All of this aid should have been provided with some sort of coordination with the Israelis. It wouldn't have been possible otherwise. And Qatar continued providing the support even during the Saudi-led blockade against it. And right now, it's, as indicated, it will continue, but there's a bit of a change. A lot of that money is now going to be redirected through the United Nations, rather than going directly through the channels into the Gaza Strip.
And finally, Palestinian human rights volunteers begin escorting children in Hebron to school.
We spoke about this last week, Maulana, the withdrawal of international monitors who have been situated in the Flashpoint town running the West Bank, in the occupied West Bank, for more than 20 years, has not renewed their mandate. And one of the most dangerous areas for Palestinians in Hebron is an area called the Kurta, is a school, a primary school called the Kurtuba School. Just outside it is a checkpoint, and adjoining it is the Israeli illegal settlement of Beit Hadassah. And these are some of the most right-wing settlers who routinely attack children. And that's why an international presence was absolutely necessary to monitor such movement and provide some degree of security for these particular children. The walk for these children to school on a daily basis, the most dangerous walk to school in the world. Now with the international monitors out, the international movement, their volunteers, local Palestinian human rights organizations have stepped in to try and fill that particular vacuum, but they themselves have been...
Is somebody still with us? Oh, we seem to have lost Tafiz Ibrahim Musa, but we were on the tail end of that weekly Palestine report.